So it's wonderful to be with you guys this morning. I trust that your hearts are open, that you're expecting God to do something, because I'm really expecting God to do something. I believe God's going to speak to some of you individually. I'm really trusting that you'll be impacted this morning. I don't want to come here and just preach another message. I want to come here and leave something with you that when we leave here, there's actually a deposit that we've left behind. Yeah, so my wife's already left part of the deposit because I'm such a wonderful dad. So in the New Testament, there's a phrase that is used four times, all four of the Gospels, which is unusual because the book of John is normally slightly different to the other three Gospels, but it's in all three. And so the thing is, he instructed his disciples to go to the other side. To go to the other side. This morning, I'm hoping to take you with me to the other side if you're not there yet. Maybe you're there already, but I find myself in the process of going there all the time because of what we find ourselves coming against. So in Matthew 8 and verse 18, it says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. So he gave an order. He commanded. It's speaking of obedience. It's speaking of, hey, I better respond in faith. This is my Lord that is speaking to me now. And you, so often we'll find God speaks to us, but we allow the people around us to distract us from what God is wanting to do in our life or through our life. And so we need to be, sometimes obedience to Jesus requires leaving what seems to be important and actually doing something greater, because that's what Jesus wants. The disciples had to trust Jesus and begin to follow him. But can you imagine this? Jump in the boat, go to the other side. For them, they were fishermen. They go to the other side. There's no big deal. It wasn't a big expanse of water. They could row across there in a few hours. And so if they were working in obedience and faith, they would have gone to the other side very quickly. Listen to this. Understanding can wait, but obedience can't. Understanding can wait, but obedience can't. Patty and I, we lived in a place called Umkomas, which is close to Scottsboro, if you know Durban. And the Lord said to us, I want you to go and plant in Nelspruit, which is like on the other side of the world. It was almost like going to America and go and plant. It was so far. And we couldn't sell a house, and we had a big house. I worked as a mechanical engineer, and so we had a really nice house, two cars in the garages, everything that you would want. And we looked down over the river. It was beautiful. It really was. But God said, go. And so we went, and we couldn't sell this house. For months, it wouldn't sell. And at that stage, the interest rate was like over 20%. I don't know the older guys if they remember those days. It was terrible. But you know what? We couldn't understand, but we had to be obedient. We had to go. And it worked out that somebody had spoken words over our house. You think that's... no, that doesn't work. And they had said, no, they're going to come back because they can't sell their house. And it was totally out of line with God's word. And we found out about that, and we had a time of prayer as we were traveling to a conference in Bloemfontein from Nelspruit. And by the time we got to Bloemfontein, we had two offers on our house, better than we thought we would get. I've also put your obedience can only start when disobedience stops. You can't have both. You can't be disobedient and obedient at the same time. To be obedient, disobedience has to stop. And I'm speaking about every area of your life. I'm not speaking of the areas that you haven't heard from the Lord yet or whatever the case may be. I'm talking about those areas that you know. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and I hope you're listening if you are. And you know that God has spoken to you about dealing with that area in your life, and you're putting it off. If we go to Hebrews, it starts to say that is willful sin. You could find yourself in a really dangerous place. So anyway, obedience and faith to cross to the other side. Mark 4:35. Mark 4:35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." That same sentence again. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Again, the distraction. I'm leaving this distraction and I'm moving on. I refuse to be held up in what God wants me to do. I'm going to force myself into what God has for me. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. I love this. I've underlined this in my Bible. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Hey? Sleeping with his head on a cushion. Is that what you'd be doing in a storm? But he knew the outcome of the storm. He knew that he would work his way through that storm. Head on a cushion. When I read this, I actually thought, do they have cushions in those days? Well, was that like a miracle just to get the cushion? The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked him, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Remember, this story is just after the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus there said to them, "You guys lack faith, because we're going to feed them." So yeah, he says, "Do you still have no faith?" Guys and girls, when I say guys, I mean guys and girls, but I'll try and remember. Don't find yourself in the place of not having faith. Or where God has dealt with you. Say for instance, in the area of finances, and God has blessed you like crazy, and then you start to slide again into a financial problem. Where's your faith? I've shown you this once before. Come on, lift up your head. So we see here, even when Jesus tells us to go somewhere, storms may come. Hey, haven't you had that in your life? Hey, we were going to announce, but we had a storm. Our house wouldn't sell. His presence doesn't mean we won't face challenge. When you're going through difficult times and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and it's difficult, push through. But it guarantees victory. At the end of the day, it guarantees victory. When my sons were Daniel and Joel, the two younger ones, I was just thinking the other day, this incident could have stopped Daniel's ministry. When they were 2 and 4, Patty went to go and do a shopping one day, left my kids with my mom, and when she came to pick them up and walk out, my mom had a Rottweiler that weighed about 80 kgs. It was a monster. But we had got him for my mom because she was on her own. My dad was dead. This dog, as Patty walked out, attacked my two kids. He grabbed Daniel from the back of from his back. He pushed him down. He grabbed him by his head. That's what Rottweilers do. They grab you by the head and they crush you as they shake you. And then as Patsy bent down to try and pick Daniel up, as she bent down, the dog grabbed Joel out from under her arm. And as she watched, I wasn't there, he shook Joel like a rag doll. You know, you would shake a doll. And so my wife, fortunately, the person that she is, she saves me in aeroplane crashes. She saves me in everything. She got down on her knees and she grabbed this dog by the jaws. And she said, in the name of Jesus. She said it was like a rock. There was no moving anything. My mom was hitting the dog on its back. And she said, when she got to about the fourth time, the dog just dropped my son and walked off and laid over there and actually licked the blood off his paws. Patsy, I got a phone call from the hospital administrator to say, you better get your children are going to die. I was about 50 k's away. I was working in Umkomas, borrowed a car, didn't even have a car, and drove through. When I drove into the hospital gates, Patty came running out. Patricia came running out. Granny Patricia. came running out. She was covered from blood. She had a white shirt on. I think she had to throw it away. It was just blood all the way down. Anyway, they couldn't do the immediate surgery because they had just eaten. And so we took him through to another hospital, a pediatric hospital. And we arrived there. And when we got there, the surgeon just said, this is a very abbreviated story. My wife can tell you the long one if you need to know. And so they said, okay, they're going to take Joel in first because he had this big flap you could see in here. So they took him in first. And the neurosurgeon came out, a Polish guy, a Jewish guy. And he said to us, I do not understand this. What? We said to him. He said, he showed us the x-ray, you could see the teeth marks of the dog in his head. He said to us, if this dog had continued to crush for 2-3 seconds, his head would have popped like a coconut. He said, I don't know why he stopped. Because of Jesus. Daniel was obviously also fixed up, all patched up. If you know Daniel, I don't know if he'll let you, but if you know him, tell him, Dan, let me see your scars. His head is full of scars still today. Their ears were hanging down, yeah. Amazing story, but we live in storms. You know what? God never allows tests to come our way to destroy or set us back, but to catapult us into the next level in our life. From that moment, we were actually coming on as deacons the Sunday after that. And so this was just a storm that the devil was trying to stop us. So we came on as deacons after that, and it wasn't long, and we actually planted the church into Nelspruit. So I want to look at the six most common forms of attack. So if you know that you're under attack, you know what to do, how to do it, and why it's happening. Because I want to tell you this, and the last one may seem hard, but give me some grace. Some of us are facing storms. And sometimes we're even smiling, but we're still facing storms. We're facing storms. Some of us are in a storm. I still believe that there are people here this morning when Sean gave the call for people in depression. If you are here in that place, I want you to begin to think about responding. I myself have been in deep depression. I was so bad in depression, when I looked outside, I didn't see color. I only saw gray and black, and I didn't see color. But you know what? God has walked me through this thing. I'm healthy now. I've not felt or been 7 or 8 years now. I've had nothing of depression in my life. And I used to have it really bad up to that point. So what are the common forms? And so it's facing a storm, in a storm. What do you think the last one is? You are the storm. You're laughing. We allow ourselves to be used by the enemy, and we don't even know that we are being used by the enemy. So I want you to listen and look at these things. Say, hey, Lord, you might be innocent in this thing, but hey, Lord, I see that thing. That's me. I need prayer to break out of that thing. So if you are the storm, we're going to pray for you today. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober-minded. So the first thing, the first common form of attack is the roaring lion. He's in your face. It's blatant. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's in your face. He's trying to cause you to be intimidated. It causes fear. It causes you to back off. I've had moments where I've been there. You know what? The only way to get through this is with God and with God's people. We can't get through on our own. If you're going through one of these things, you need to go to an elder or a deacon, or you need to go to someone and you need to say, I want you to hold me accountable. I want to get through this thing. How's this one? Second form of attack. Angel of light. Hey, how's that one? 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Not a Christian, not Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Who's servants of righteousness? You and me. Hey, that's who we are. Their end will be what their actions deserve. It looks like God, but it's the devil. Haven't you, in your walk with God, over you? I got saved just before we got married, so I've been a Christian 42 years, and I've seen these things. I've found myself saying things. When you gossip, you are being used by the devil. It's not God. I can tell you right now, it's not God. You find that you are tempted to cover sin. You do something and you think, hey, I can cover this up. No, you can't. It's going to come out. What's in the dark will come out in the light. It will. Books that you read. CDs that you listen to. Okay, CDs for me. I've been married 42 years. Spotify. YouTube. Guys, what do you watch? You ask people, hey, they come with this big theory, and you say, where did you see that? Oh, no, I saw that on YouTube. And then they want to cover up what happened. Guys, please, please, you've got elders, you've got deacons. If you're unsure, go to them. They are here to protect you. They have been given the responsibility of protecting you. They're going to stand in front of God one day and they're going to answer for what they have done with you. That for me is the most terrifying thing. And that's one of the reasons that I feel so good now that I don't need a congregation anymore. I'm not going to answer for anyone for a while now. Or it could be I have to answer for all of it. I'm only going to have to answer for the elders. Sean? Rion? Yeah, he's sitting here laughing. And Mona. Third way that he comes at us is praise. People come to you, oh, you're so good. Proverbs 27:21, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by his praise. You know what? I've fallen in this area. People come up to you, wow, what a wonderful preacher. You think, ooh, that's so good, man. It feels good. Tell me again. Oh. And even a third time, please tell me again. But you know what? We better watch out. We better not pout. Santa Claus is not coming to town. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Be humble and don't allow pride in. You know what? If we do God's job, he's going to do our job. So if we exalt ourselves, God's going to humble us. Make sure you're doing the right job. The fourth one, fear of man. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So what's it speaking about? Opinion. You're worried about someone's opinion. No, I'm not worried about someone's opinion. I know what the Word of God says. I'm not concerned about it. Approval, acceptance, rejection. If you struggle with one of those things, you need to give it to God. 5, criticism for good. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know what? If somebody criticizes you, it's not your job to defend yourself. You take it. If it's constructive, you apply it to your life and change. If it's destructive, you just throw it to the side. Have nothing more to do with it. Natural circumstances. Psalm 75, verse 6. For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment. When it comes to wealth, guys, some of us are blessed more than others. We must not put any of that before God. Sean spoke about that. I love watching the Grand Prix. So we need to have God in the pole position. He's at the front. Something else. Don't ever stand security for someone else. That's what the Word tells us. And also, some guys are on fire for the Lord. I've been up here jumping around, and I've been at the back in a bad place. Then I've been up here, and now I'm 64 years old, so I'm not jumping around anymore, but I'm still at the front worshiping the Lord. So if you're older than 64, you don't have to come to the front. If you're younger, you have to. Next way that he attacks you is discouragement or self-pity. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I gain praise him, my salvation and my God. At this point, if you're struggling with depression, so what do we do to come against what the devil, the storm that we're facing? I'm really trusting that you guys that stood, you're going to move outside of the storm. But you're still going to have to fight the storm. Get your friends around you. You can't do it on your own. So how do we do this? Live a submitted life to God first. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit is the key to this sentence. Submit yourselves and resist the devil. If you're not in submission, you can resist until you're blue in the face. You are going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. Because I want to tell you that the devil is on a whole different level to God. God's up here and the devil's down here. But let me tell you, we are below that. And if we're not in submission to God, we're in trouble. This is the hard one. Submission to authority. 1 Peter 5:5, it says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. And that word elders there means older person and elder function. Submit yourself to your elders. You know why an older person as well? Older guys have got some experience living. They've learned a few things. They know how to walk through things. So I'm in the privileged position of being an elder and an elder. You know what? I've got to do this. Cape Town, for me, is the most incredible place to live. I think it's the only place in South Africa where pensioners get discounts. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the Spur. Tell them you want the pensioner's discount. They got calamari, steak, everything like for 100 rand. Go. Don't miss out. There is no other province like that. If we're going somewhere or we're buying something, I'll say to Patty, we need to check that there's no pensioner's discount. So submission to authority. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. God, you don't want God opposing you. You don't. You're going to... All these words I use, I hope someone interpreted. You're going to come short. The third thing is keep humble. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. 4, don't tolerate anxiety, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Now, if you're in depression, don't be anxious about the fact that you're anxious. Because people do, oh no, I'm not supposed to have this because I'm being prayed for and I'm a Christian. No. Hey, I need you. Morning. I know it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but I need you. Have you got his phone number, Matthew? Five, exercise self-control under the Holy Spirit. Be alert. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like, take a pen or something and put a circle around like, because you know what? He's not a lion. He's like a lion. He's a shadow of a lion, looking for someone to devour. But guys, we need to be alert. In my life, I watch myself very carefully. My wife watches me very carefully. we communicate, if there's anything, there hasn't been for a long time, but if we're not dropping our guard, we are keeping our eyes on this thing. 6, resist the devil with faith. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So then you obviously need to be using the armor, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, those things in Ephesians 6 and verses 10 to 18. This thing, yeah, is very important. Never hide or back off. Don't hide and don't back off. Devil, I refuse. I'm drawing a line in the sand. Your stronghold's not going to become a stronghold. What's that? Your foothold's not going to become a stronghold. I will not let it happen. And you know what? God will honor you if you make that stand. Be accountable, as I've said so often. And then you belong to God and He's responsible for you. He's responsible for you. It says, no, in all these things, it's in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What? Reading that, what is the only thing that can separate you from God? Remember this. Remember it. The only thing is you. Nothing else, only you. And I learned that through an incredible teacher of the word, which was David Pawson. He said, the only thing that can separate you from God is you, which is true. Okay, so we've done the first two, go to the other side, Luke 8 and verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. So they got into the boat and set out. When they sailed to the country of Gennesaret, which is opposite Galilee, when Jesus stepped out on land, they met a man from the city who had demons. One of my favorite things is seeing people get set free from demons. 30 years of ministry, there's been a lot of that. I remember one day in Nelspruit, after it passed, started a church. You never know what, because Daniel's teacher said, so what is planted a church? In his business book for the day, he wrote there. But anyway, I preached on the Holy Spirit, and we were praying for people, and I was moving along like this, and I turned around and I looked. And this huge lady, really big lady, had fallen on Patty forwards. And all I saw was these little hands and feet sticking out. And she couldn't get out. She was pinned. And in the meanwhile, I got gripped on the ankle by this tiny, skinny little oak, which we later found out was her son. And he said, help me. So I said, What do you need? Help me. He said, please, I need help. So I bent down to pray for him. And he said, I am the Lord over Nelspruit. I've got this funny thing. When I talk to people, I say, hey, my friend. When I was young and we used to have fights and stuff, you called someone your friend, it like disarmed him and you could hit him. So, hey, my friend. And so I said, no, you're not my friend. And this thing came out. Our church doubled in 2 weeks. People wanted to see this church where demons come out. Never mind where Jesus is, where the demons come out. So sometimes Jesus calls us to the other side, not for ourselves, but because there are people waiting who need deliverance, healing, salvation. Go to the other side. There are those that need help. Don't sit on your side all cozy and cushy and not in the storm. No, get in the storm, get to the other side and help others. Are you ready? Are you ready? Who here wants to help others? Come, stand up quickly. Let's pray. You don't have to stand up, by the way. I don't like it when preachers use something that everyone has to stand up. Lord, we give ourselves to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, just come on these people, fill them to overflowing, get them ready for the work that you need them to do. I thank you right now. Change hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would energize these people into a place of let me loose on them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So now you can sit down now. You see, it's short prayer. Some guys have these long prayers and it achieves the same as my short prayer. Now, I said, are you ready? We cannot only receive, we need to give as well. You've received. You stood up. I didn't make you stand up. Now you have to give. Come on, during the week. You don't have to wait for Wednesday or next week, Sunday. Come on, get up there. Hey, come on, I've got this word for you. I don't know what God is saying, but I've got this feeling. What is it? I feel this and this and this. Wow, who told you that? Jesus. Come on, guys and girls. John 6:16. We're nearly at the end. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into a boat, started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough. We read earlier that he had his head on a pillow, because strong wind was blowing. When they rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Don't you think that's quite cool? It is I. Do not be afraid. They were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land. So it was like, get into the boat. Droom, over there. Like Philip. When we go to the other side, or during going to the other side, let's expect the supernatural. You know what? We're a people of power, man. We're not these people that go to church on Sunday and on Wednesday. No, we are people of power. You know what? Risk it. Get out there. Tell people you'll pray for them. You and they say no. You say, okay, cheers, next one. I love praying for waiters because they can't go. They have to take the order. The other one I do is I tell them, won't you say grace for us? Yeah, they're stuck. The petrol attendant, he's stuck. Get those opportunities and make them work for you. Part of the problem is we forget in the light, we forget in the dark what we've learnt in the light. So sad that the disciples had seen all these miracles, and then they revert to their 5 senses when they get into a storm. What they felt, what they felt, all those senses that they did not trust Jesus when he said, go to the other side. You see, if you guys don't trust Jesus, you won't talk to anyone about him. But if you trust him, you'll start to step out. It won't be easy. I've never said it's easy. I struggle with myself still, but you've got to take those little steps. There are some guys that are just like, whoa, over here about Jesus, there about Jesus. Just everywhere they go, they're speaking to the Lord. When we can't feel Jesus, do we presume he is there or do we presume he is not there? It's the old thing of a glass of water. Is it half full or half empty? Let's go for half full. So Jesus is calling us to the other side. It's a place of faith. It's a place of obedience. A place of trusting in his plan that we're going to get to the other side.